Turning your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. We're near the end. We're seeing the greatest event of all time, the death and the resurrection of Christ. We saw Him die on the cross to pay for our sins. We've seen the burial, and now we're seeing the resurrection. It's powerful. Jesus died and rose again. He rose again after 3 days. This morning, we're seeing the first appearance of Christ after His death and burial. In fact, there are 10 recorded appearances in the Scripture that we see Jesus afterwards. In fact, Jesus dies and rises again, walks on the earth for 40 days, and in this 40-day time period, there are 10 places in which He appears. We're going to see two of those this morning, the first two, in fact. And Jesus shows Himself, in fact, this first time, the first two times, He shows Himself to the women. We're reminded in this section the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have a living Savior. As we look at this passage, let me raise some questions for you. First of all, what did Mary call Jesus when she saw Him? Second, how does Jesus refer to His disciples in this passage? And what should be our response concerning Jesus as our living Savior? There's just so much as we go through the passage. You know, we have a written revelation. We call it the Bible. The Bible is one big book, but it's actually 66 different books. And it gives information going all the way back to the creation and the flood and all of that. And we see the lives of Abraham and David and Moses and the birth and ministry of Christ. And then there's Paul and Peter and all of those kind of things. But as you look at the Bible, and if you had to say, what if we took the Bible and we said, what is the Bible about? I mean, you could say, well, it's one big book, but it's a bunch of 66 books, and all those books have different things in them. But if you had to narrow it down and say, what is the Scripture about? We would say it this way. The story of the Bible is the perfect God brings sinful man back to Himself using His Son, Jesus Christ. The perfect God brings sinful man back to Himself using His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the story of the Bible. The central person of the Bible is Jesus Christ. From Adam and Eve on, from Genesis 3:15 on, from the promise of the Redeemer, that we're looking forward to the Messiah who is to come, Jesus Christ. After Jesus died and rose again and ascended back to heaven, everyone now looks back to Jesus, the one who came, the one who died and rose again. Over the last few weeks, we've been seeing Jesus. And we've seen His death on the cross. We've seen His burial. And we're seeing His resurrection. In fact, in John 19, His death on the cross and the burial. As we get to John chapter 20, we're going to see His resurrection. And this morning, two appearances. And they're powerful. There are 10. I'm going to give them to you later on. You don't have to write them down, because in the next week or two, I'm going to give you a handout that has all of them on there. So if you want to look at them yourself. By the way, His appearances were only to believers. All 10 times. Let's remember what we've seen. Jesus died on the cross. It's sad. We looked at it, and from humanly speaking, we say that's about the worst thing that could ever happen. They put this great man, this good man, the man who'd done everything, the man who'd done the miracles, the man who claimed to be God, all of they put Him on the cross and He died. That looks really bad, but it wasn't bad. It was really good, because He died for us. He was taking our sin upon Himself. He was the Son of God who died. And then they buried Him, and Joseph and Nicodemus came. Those two men, they were both religious leaders. They both had a lot to lose. They both had positions of authority, and by showing up and taking the body of Jesus and anointing the body and putting it in the tomb, they both risked their positions and possibly their lives. In John chapter 19, verses 41 and 42, it basically ended this, you know, it ended by saying, now in the place where He was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden was a new tomb in which no one had been laid. Therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. We brought it up last time that Joseph of Arimathea, Joseph is the guy that helped get Jesus' body. Joseph of Arimathea, he lived in Arimathea, which was 20 miles to the southwest of Jerusalem, and yet he had a tomb in Jerusalem. Why would he have a tomb in Jerusalem? And it says it was a tomb in which nobody had ever laid, so that it was not a family tomb. We believe, best we can tell, is maybe Jesus had talked to him, and Joseph said, I have a place to put your body after they kill you. It's a possibility. We talked about it a little last week. What's going on now? Well, they buried Him. 3 days had passed. We know the story. Some women got up very early in the morning, even while it was still dark, and they're on the way to the tomb, and they've come to the tomb to see the resurrected Lord. No, that's not true. They've come to the tomb to anoint the body. He's dead. Some of the people said, you know, we loved Him so much, and we thought He would be the one to redeem us. We thought He was the Savior, but they killed Him. And so they're coming that morning, several women, to come to anoint the body. Now, as they're going, they've been talking to each other. It's still dark, and they're saying to themselves, when we get there, how are we going to get in to do the body? Because they put this big stone in front of it, and actually sealed it. I don't know if we're strong enough to roll the stone back away. And so they were talking about that. The plan is to come to anoint the body. You know about this. They anoint the body and put this sweet-smelling spices on top of the body, and then the body decays. And they do this over weeks until there's nothing left but bones. They take the bones. They put them in boxes, call ossuaries. Sometimes whole families were in boxes. And so that's what they would do when people died. So the women are sad, and they're coming out to anoint the body of Jesus. And if you talk to them and you said, Didn't you think he was the one? And they said, we thought he was the one. We believed in him as Savior. It looks like it's over. Chapter 20, verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and they saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now, listen, John just is recording for this, and he's basically telling us about Mary Magdalene. The other Gospels tell us that the other women were with her, and they had already been talked about it. Now, Mary Magdalene was from a place called Magdala, which was near the Sea of Galilee. And the best we can tell from the Scriptures is that Jesus had cast some demons out from her, that she had been just in a horrible situation. Jesus, in a sense, saved her. She believed in him as the Savior. She probably followed him around toward the last days. She may have been at the cross. And now she's come to anoint the body. John doesn't mention the other women. I'll tell you what happened to them in just a minute. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. Now, that can be good and bad. They could say, who in the world has got into the tomb? Somebody has rolled the thing away. Or they could be saying, well, at least we can get in because the stone has been moved away and we don't have to worry about that. It's on the first day of the week. And so this woman the Gospels tell us about her. And they were not expecting the resurrection. Look what happened. They saw the stone taken away from the tomb. So she ran. She left. She ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have laid him. Now, John didn't tell us everything, but apparently they got there. The women, the stone had rolled away. They looked inside and they saw nothing. We're going to show a picture of a tomb in just a minute, but there's a stone could be moved away and you'd go into a little room and then underneath farther down were the places they put the bodies. So they probably walked into that room and looked in there and they said, the body is gone. Right then, Mary Magdalene said, I'm telling Peter. And she took off. The other ladies stay there. And we're going to see what happened to them in just a minute. Matthew chapter 28, and we won't turn there, verses 2 through 4, tell us, I think it's the next slide, I think, tell us the other women stayed, and while Mary is gone, the other women are there, two angels appeared. And they said to these women, now Mary's gone, so she didn't know any of this, why are you looking among the dead for the living? He's risen. Don't you remember as he told you? See, Jesus told them over and over. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to be turned over to the Romans. He'll be crucified and 3 days later rise again. Now, they forgot all that. They just didn't grasp it. They said, yeah, I know he said it. But, you know, he said a lot of things. I just don't know. And while they're there, the angels say to those women, why are you looking for Jesus in a place where dead people are? Because he's alive. Don't you remember what he taught you? That's Matthew 28, 2 through 4. Why would you seek the living among the dead? He's risen, as he said. Don't you remember? He said he was going to die and rise again. He rose. That is proof. What a promise. What do you do with the promises of God? Think about the promises that he's told us. He said, I give you eternal life. You'll never perish. There are people who put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And the Bible says the moment you believe in Jesus, he gives you eternal life. You'll never perish. And you say to them, you go into heaven. And they go, I hope so. And you go, wait a minute. What's the promise? The promise is eternal life. You live forever with Jesus Christ. He promised us a home in heaven. He told us in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. When I get it ready, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. When I get it ready, I'll come back and get you. If it wasn't that way, I'd have told you. Do you believe Jesus Christ, one of these days, is going to come out of the clouds, come in the clouds, and get us and take us with him? We do. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Why should you fear? Do we fear? He says, I'll provide every need that you have. Are we worried about things? We must rest in the promises of God. Now, the best that we can tell happened is when they got there and they saw the tomb was empty, Mary Magdalene took off trying to find Peter. The lady stayed. The angels appeared. And they actually told those women, you go tell people that he's risen from the dead. So now they take off. So people are running all over the place, aren't they? Now, watch what's going to happen, because Mary gets to Peter, and look what it says. So she ran and she came to Simon Peter, this is verse 2, and to the other disciple who Jesus loved. Now, the other disciple who Jesus loved is the one who wrote the book. That's John. He calls himself that. You remember, let me just remind you, that there were many people that followed Jesus around. There were over 120 that he sent out at one time. There were 12 that he chose. Of those 12, called the apostles, there were three that were the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And then there was one who called himself the disciple who Jesus loved. And that's John. That's the one who wrote this book. He's the closest one to John. He was probably also the youngest of all the apostles. And he called himself the apostle that Jesus loved. And so it says, so she came and ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him. What do you think they think? Somebody took the body? Now, there's some fear here. Let me tell you why there's some fear. Because what if the Romans came and said, we're going to take the body and we're going to put it where we always put criminals. And that's in a place right outside south of Jerusalem in the Kidron Valley. Was a place called Gehenna, which meant the place of the garbage dump. And they would take and they burned garbage there all the time. But they'd also take criminals' bodies and people who weren't claimed. And they just threw them in there and they burned the bodies up. They had a fear. Maybe the Romans came in there and just said, hey, just get rid of that body. We're not going to let them put him in a tomb because he's a criminal. And so they're afraid. You don't think they came and got the body, do you? So she came in Simon Peter and said, they've taken the body. We don't know what they've done. Once again, she's not expecting resurrection. So Peter and the other disciple went forth and they were going to the tomb. So you can see Peter and John, they're on the way. John's the youngest. He lived at least 30 years beyond Peter. Because Peter was killed in about 65, 66, 67 during the great persecution. There was persecution in the 30s, persecution in the 60s and 70s. And John lived up until close to the 90s, because we think that the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John were all written in close to about the 90s. So he was much younger probably than some of these guys. And so he's faster too, by the way. Watch what happens. The two were running together and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. So they're so either excited or mad or something that John is running really fast. Peter's going, go ahead, I'll catch up. You know, he can't keep up with him. And so the two were running together and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and they came to the tomb and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Now, I want you to understand that there are three words to see in this passage. You cannot tell it from English because it said, and he looked in, he said, but in Greek they stand out. Let me show you. There's three words used for seeing. The first word, it says, so Simon Peter also came following. It said the two were running, verse 5, and stooping in and looking. This is John. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Now, he got to the edge, and he looked down like the women did, and he saw the place where the body had laid, and he saw the wrappings which the body had been wrapped in. Now, the word saw there, I don't know if we have it, it means to look intently. He was doing this. He was going, what in the world? He was looking very strongly. That's what it means. And he was looking in the tomb. Now, if you go to Jerusalem, there's a place called Gordon's Calvary. And there's a garden, and in the garden is a tomb. And some people actually believe this was the tomb. We don't know for sure, but the truth is this, it's very near where most believe the crucifixion was, and it is in a garden, and it is a garden tomb. And so some people believe this may have been the tomb that Jesus was in. Let me show you what it looks like. That's what the tomb looks like. Now, see that? See this thing in the front? That's a ridge in which they rolled a stone, almost like a record, you know, or a disc. They would roll it in front of that hole. If you stepped up in there, we don't have any pictures of that, but if you step up in there, there's a little room. And then underneath that room, there is places, you look a little further back, in which there are slabs in which they laid the bodies. And so you could go in there, get all the way in, and anoint the body. That's Peter standing right at that hole, looking in, saying, I'm looking pretty strong. I don't know what's happened there. Now, watch what happens. Stooping in and looking, he saw. He gazed intently at the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Now, that's the part they anointed the body with. And so Simon Peter also came following and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there. Now, this is a second word for see, and this means to investigate. It's as if he began to say, wait a minute. He began to investigate what happened here. Now, notice, it says, and the face cloth which had been on his head was not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Now, you remember, they anointed the body, but when they came to the head, they usually took some cloth and they wrapped it this way so that the jaw wouldn't fall open. They just kind of kept it closed like this. That's called the napkin, or the one around the head. When they got in there, the linen wrappings where the body had been was one place, but the thing about the head had been rolled up in another place. In fact, the Greek means to roll into a ball. And so he began to investigate what in the world is going on. Finally, notice, so the other disciple who had come first to the tomb, as John, when he entered, here's the third word, he saw and believed. The third word means to understand. It wasn't just like I look at something. It means I go, I see. I get it. Now, what did they get? Well, they get, first of all, body's not there. And they see that something unique has happened because people didn't come in and just steal the body. It would all be, and they didn't come and just take the body and undo the wrappings because they wouldn't be that way. In fact, if somebody came and stole the body, the wrappings wouldn't be there. And if somebody had taken off the wrappings, they'd all be messed up. And so they're saying something has happened that we can't figure this out. I think when it says they saw and believed, I think they're saying, I believe he's alive. Just because this doesn't add up. We looked at it, we investigated it, and now we believe. I think they believe he's risen. And look at this next part. What do they see? The tomb is empty, the linen cloths are there, and the guards are gone. Wait, what's happened? But look at verse 9, and so it helps us. It says, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They hadn't put together the Old Testament passages that he was to rise. See, they just didn't grasp it. Even though he told them over and over that he was going to rise again, and even though if they would have gone back to the scriptures, they would have understood it. Look at some of the Old Testament passages. They had not put together the Old Testament passages to do with the resurrection of the Anointed One. I think I've got some verses. Psalm 16:10 actually says that the Anointed One of God would not see corruption. Psalm 2 verse 7 says, this is the day I have begotten you. If you read Psalm 2 verse 7, begotten him is not him being born. It's the resurrection aspect. And if you go to Leviticus 23, you see there's a day called the Feast of First Fruits. It was always new life. Jesus rose from the grave on first fruits. They hadn't put that together. Jesus died on Passover. Jesus rose on first fruits. He died for the as our Passover lamb. He rose as the first from the dead. That's what it's all about. It says here, they had not yet understood the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. They hadn't put it together yet. Now, Peter would, because in a few days, on the day of Pentecost, when he stands before the crowd, he uses Psalm 16:10 to declare that Jesus died and rose from the grave. He uses Psalm 16:10. They didn't put it together yet. Look what it says. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. What do you think they're thinking? Think about this. What could all this mean to the disciples? Well, the body's gone. The linen is there. The guards are gone. Well, had he been stolen? Had he been raised? What's happened? They believe. I'm thinking, and this is, if we were there, what would we be thinking? We'd be saying, I really would like to believe that he's alive. I really would. I just don't know. I mean, it looks like it. It looks like something has really, we saw it, we investigated it, we were understanding it, we just hadn't put it all together. Now, I want you to see the appearances. And I'm going to give them to you. You don't write this down. I'll give it to you. We're going to see the first appearance, but there are 10 appearances of Jesus Christ. The first is to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. We're going to see that this morning. And we'll also see the other women going from the tomb. We'll see that very quickly. Then on that same day, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, he appeared to Peter. Later in that day, he appeared to two men on the road to Emmaus. Later in that same day, he appeared to the 10 apostles. Thomas wasn't there. For some reason, he wasn't there. That's all on that day. Then, number 6, 8 days later, he appears to all 11 apostles. Then, a little bit later, when we get to John 21, he's going to appear to 7 apostles by the sea. Then 1 Corinthians 15:6 says, at one time he appeared to 500 believers at one time. Later on, 1 Corinthians 15:7 says he appeared to James, who is his half-brother. And then finally, in Acts chapter 1, he's going to appear to all of his disciples, all of his apostles, on the Mount of Olives. That's the 10 appearances of Christ after his death and resurrection. It's always to believers, and then he ascends into heaven. Now let's see what happened to Mary. Now think about what happened. She came to the tomb with the ladies. Body was gone. She took off to find Peter. They stayed. Angel told him he was alive. They left. She hasn't talked with these women. Peter and John came. They looked in, and they went, we don't know. Something happened here. She's still there. Watch what happens. Verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. Now, why is she weeping? She's not jumping around going, he's alive. She said, I don't know what happened. This is not right. Who would take his body? It's not right. Why don't they just leave us alone? Why don't they just leave us alone? We're going to see in just a second the power of the resurrection. Because right now she's not happy. Right now she's sad. But resurrection changes everything. Look what happened. She looked into the tomb and she saw two angels in white, one sitting at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. She looks in, she sees that slab, and there are two angels, one on each end. Now, I guarantee you, she's afraid, because angels are powerful beings. Every time people see angels, they're afraid. She's afraid. They said to her, look what they say to her. Why are you weeping? They probably said, weren't you here a while ago when we told the other ladies? But she wasn't. Why are you weeping? She said to them, because they've taken away my Lord, I do not know where they've laid him. Why are you weeping? See, don't you get it? He's alive. Why would you be sad? He's alive. He's not dead. Sometimes we go through life, we don't get it. He's alive. You know, Jesus died and rose again. Death's been conquered. We have a risen Savior. He's alive now. This is not a story. This is truth. She said, I don't know what's happened to him. They've taken the body. I don't know where they put him. She's so afraid that they've done something with that body and she's not going to be able to get it. When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Now, the first person that Jesus appears to in the scripture is this woman. And she doesn't know it's him. She turned around and she didn't know it was Jesus. Look what he says to her. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Now remember we said sometimes you see the word woman and it looks like a little harsh, like woman, what do you... That's that in Greek, this was a way to be really show her great respect. He's showing her great respect. Same thing he said, remember, to his mother on the cross. He said, woman, your son. He said, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? Those two questions. Why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? Think about this. Why are you weeping? He's alive. He's risen. Who were you seeking? The risen Lord, not a dead body. You know why she can't find dead Jesus? Because he isn't dead. You can't find the dead body if he's not dead. She's looking everywhere. It's so easy for us to say, why didn't they believe? If we'd have been there, we'd have probably we probably wouldn't even have gone. If you go to Jerusalem and you go to Gordon's Calvary and you go to the tomb, whether it's the right one or not, it's empty. In fact, you can go to all of them around there. They're empty. That Jesus isn't there. Now, she thinks he's the gardener. The gardener was a person who would take care of that garden where those tombs were. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I'll take him away." Now, you can see this little woman carrying a dead body. Think how heavy that would be. But she said, I'm going to get it. I'm not letting anybody touch the one I love. This is the first class if in Greek. She says, if you have carried him away. And she implies, yes, it's true. You have taken him away. I want him back. Sometimes we live as if he's dead instead of living as if we have a risen Savior. Now, why didn't she recognize Jesus? Well, some say there's several reasons. One, that he was veiled. And sometimes there's times, we're going to see it on the road to Emmaus, that he walked with these two guys and they were talking to him and he fixed it where they didn't recognize who he was. I don't know how he did that, but he does it. And it could be that maybe when she was talking to him, she didn't know. But maybe she was crying so much, she just couldn't really see. Maybe she wasn't even looking. She was just saw that it was a person and thought it was the gardener. Some have said because maybe the sun was starting to come up and he's standing there and the sun is just in her eyes and she just can't tell who that person is. We don't know. But she's about to go from despair to joy because the resurrection changes everything. See, when you lose a loved one, and sometimes it happens in our lives, the people that we love, they die. We don't have to say that's the end. Because Jesus Christ has conquered death. He died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. And he has conquered death, and every human being is going to exist forever. Some will live forever with Jesus Christ. It's called eternal life. It comes by faith. Some will exist forever separated from Christ. It's called the second death. We want everyone to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and have eternal life. He told them, you'll be sad because I'll be dead. And then you'll be happy because I'll be alive. He told them. They didn't even grasp it. He said, you will not see me and you will be sad. Then you'll see me and you'll be happy. And they went, what's he talking about? They didn't get it. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. Look what Jesus said to her. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Notice he doesn't say, can't you ever believe what I say? He doesn't get on her at all, does he? He calls her name. And let me tell you, he probably called her name a lot of times. And see, she responds because his sheep know his voice. And when he said, Mary, she knew that voice. And she said, Rabboni, Rabboni. And that means teacher. That's what it means. And see, Jesus is the great teacher. Listen to this. Listen to what he teaches. I think next slide. He teaches us the way of salvation because he's the way. It comes by faith. He teaches the truth, the basis for living because he's the truth. And he teaches about life. He gives us life, eternal life, because he is the life. John 14:6, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He's the greatest teacher of all. She realizes it's him. You know what she did? Doesn't tell us exactly, but you know what she did? She fell down and grabbed his feet. She's worshiping him. And look what he says to her. Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Now she grabbed him and was holding on to him, and he says, listen, don't hold on to me because I'm going to the Father. Remember, he left the glories of heaven, came to the earth for a period of time, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again. He's going to walk on the earth for 40 days, and then he's going back to the Father. And he's seated right now at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And he tells her, you can't be holding on to me. Our relationship is now different. You used to could walk with me and talk with me, but now I'm going to be with the Father. It's going to be a little bit different. Notice what he calls the disciples. He said, go tell my brothers, my brethren, and say, I ascend to my Father and what? Your Father, my God, your God. He's emphasizing the family. John 1:12, as many as received him, that they gave the right to become what? Children of God. He's showing that we have a relationship, a family relationship with God. You understand that when Jesus, when he was teaching to them and he said, Abba, Father, and he was talking, he called God his Father. No Jewish people ever called God Father. God was too big, too tough. I mean, Moses never called him Father. Abraham never called him Father. But now we can call him Daddy. Abba is the Aramaic name for Daddy. Jesus said, I'm going to send in the Father. Now, let me just say one thing, and I know we're running out of time. Let me just say this, that sometime from the time Jesus died to the time that he went back to the Father, he took his blood into the tabernacle in heaven. The book of Hebrews tells us this. Now, the question is, when did he do that? Did he do it the 3 days and three nights he was in the heart of the earth? Did he do it right in here? Did he do it sometime in the 40 days when he walked on the earth? Did he do it at the end when he ascended back into heaven? The Bible does not tell us. But the Bible does tell us he took his blood into the tabernacle in heaven as the satisfactory payment for our sins. It's a powerful truth. Look what happened. Mary Magdalene came and announced to the disciples, I've seen the Lord, and that he said these things to her. She came back and told him. What do you think they said? I don't know. Are you sure? And those other women come running up, and what do they say? We've seen the Lord. He told us to come tell you. And you know what they probably said? Well, how come he hadn't appeared to us? We are the important ones, right? We're the ones who spend all the time with him. I mean, you're just the women. See, that's how they thought. In fact, if you needed testimony in that day and time, the testimony of a woman didn't count. Didn't count. Let me show you the second one. Turn to Matthew 28. We're going to look at it very quickly. Matthew 28. I want to see the second appearance of Christ, and then we'll stop. I promise. Matthew 28, look at verse 8. The angels have just told them, he's alive. Go quickly and tell his disciples. Verse 8, and they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. They got joy. Why do they got joy? They believe he's alive. They said, look, if an angel tells you something, you might as well believe it, right? So they're going, and look what happened. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold. What did they do? The same thing Mary did. They took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and take my word to my brethren to leave for Galilee. And there they will see me. Jesus is alive. Mary has seen him. The women have seen him. They come back and they say, we saw him. And they're going to be jumping for joy. And they're going out in the streets and telling everyone. Is that what happened? No. This same day they decide that because they're afraid of what might happen. And afraid of the Jews, they get into a room and they all just waiting to see what's going to happen. Next time we'll see what happens. Let me give you some quick applications. Realize that we have a risen Savior. What did Jesus say? Why are you weeping? He's alive. Whom are you seeking? A risen Savior. See, resurrection changes everything. So, A, I want you to think about it. Let's worship him. When you sing the songs, worship him. Think about it. When we come together on the first day of the week, why do we meet on Sunday? First day of the week, Jesus rose from the grave on the first day of the week. That's why we worship on the first day of the week. B, he's our teacher. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Come to the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Live by the Word of God. Third thing is by faith, we are children of God. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God. John 1:12. And then finally, look what we're supposed to do. Let's tell others. As we go out these doors, let's tell the greatest message of all. Jesus died and rose again. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. May we as children of God worship and learn from our Savior and teacher as we proclaim. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, wow, what a passage. Thank you for these great truths that we have a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. May we worship him. He is our teacher. We realize we're children of God simply by faith. May we go out these doors and tell other people. Lord, thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.